Hello friends, this is Heather again at IncredibleInfant.com. In today's Confidence Cafe chat, I want to talk about something a little bit more serious than what we've normally been talking about. I want to talk about hormones, those crazy little chemicals that make us feel happy and sad and angry and frustrated and depressed and overjoyed all within, you know, in my case, 10 to 15 minutes. So I thought that I was a pretty emotionally stable person up until the point that I had kids. So I'm not sure if it's the pregnancies or maybe the fact that I'm just getting older, but I find myself battling hormonal issues once a month more than ever before. So that's the side of parenting and particularly motherhood that just nobody really wants to talk about. You know, it's the sad part, the angry part, the less than chipper side of parenting. No one except, of course, the lovely Catherine Stone. Catherine Stone, let me tell you about her. She is the founder and editor of Postpartum Progress, which is a nonprofit blog that pretty much calls it as it is. She's been featured at Babbel.com, Huffington Post, CNN, The Today Show, ABC News, and numerous other media outlets. She was also honored to win the 2013 Health Activist Hero Award for her ongoing work and mission to educate young moms on postpartum depression and other mental illnesses in pregnancies and after childbirth. So I'm thinking to myself, if I was cool enough to have a hero award, I do think I would give it to Catherine. She has overcome a really difficult childhood and some troubling circumstances to become one of the web's most approachable and encouraging leaders when it comes to women's issues. So I was
that's very nice.
Yes,
where do I send the check?
Yeah, we can talk about that later, Catherine.
Okay.
So thank you so much, Catherine, for hopping on and letting me talk to you about this issue.
Sure. Anytime.
I'm just excited. Yeah, I was really inspired by your biography and some of the things that you've been writing, which we'll get to, listeners. So I'm jumping ahead of myself. But it really did inspire me, and I was really encouraged to hear your story. So,
well, thank you.
Yeah, let's start a little bit about something that I learned when I was reading some of your stuff and preparing myself for this, that postpartum depression is like the most well-known issue. But it's not, and this is what surprised me, it's not the only mental illness that can kick in after childbirth. Would you just start us off by talking about some of these other issues and mental illnesses that moms can struggle with that maybe they don't even know that this exists, but they're struggling with it?
Sure. Well, there's actually sort of a wide spectrum of symptoms that women can experience, and the way we describe them is we use different names. So there's postpartum depression, which many people will recognize, but there's also postpartum anxiety, postpartum OCD, postpartum panic disorder, postpartum psychosis. And I think people are pretty surprised to hear that. They're not aware of all the ways that you can suffer, you know, for lack of a better term, either during pregnancy or in the first year after childbirth. And really, you know, what all of that means essentially is that there are many ways to experience a mental illness, either during pregnancy or postpartum, and there's no one size fits all. So, you know, one woman may have symptoms of wanting to sleep all the time and wanting to withdraw and feeling depressed and feeling sad and crying a lot. And another one may be anxious all the time and unable to sleep and having very scary thoughts come into her head that she's never had before, and she doesn't understand and, you know, knows are wrong, things that make her really worry about harm coming to herself or her baby or her loved ones. Mm-hmm. You know, someone else may be just having panic attacks and unable to go out, you know, to the store in public. I mean, there's just so many different ways that women can struggle. I mean, many have very severe anger, irritability, rage even, that they're shocked by and have no idea where it's coming from, and they don't even recognize that it's a sign of postpartum mental illness. So there's, you know, we talk about all of these, obviously, on my site because we don't want any mom to feel alone or to think, oh, you know, I'm different, I'm the, you know, unique case that's never going to get better and no one can help me, which is definitely not true.
And I imagine that makes it kind of difficult sometimes because you can't really give a list if it's so personal. I know I was talking to Megan Jordan last week.
Yeah.
About her experience.
Hey, Megan.
Yeah, and feeling that, in her case, it was anger of just
yeah,
rage.
Sure.
And didn't seem normal. So I'm wondering, do you think there's a difference? I mean, let's just pinpoint real quick on the depression side. Is there a difference between what's commonly called the baby blues and PPD?
Oh, yeah, for sure. The baby blues is not an illness. It's actually just an adjustment period that the majority of moms, not all, but something like 60 to 70% of new moms have, which is essentially, you know, you've had this huge change in hormones after
right.
delivering a baby. And so you're going to have a period for a couple of weeks, let's say maybe 2 weeks at the most, after you have a baby where you obviously may feel moody, exhausted,
right.
you know, go from crying to happiness to crying to happiness. That's a very common experience, and it resolves naturally. It goes away on its own. It's not a mental illness. It's not something that needs to be treated. The question is how you're feeling after those 2 weeks, right?
Okay.
So
okay.
if you're 3, 4, 5 weeks postpartum, 7 weeks postpartum, 8, it doesn't really matter when during the year, because as it turns out, you know, some moms may actually have PPD but just not recognize it at, you know,
right.
a month or 2 or 3 months postpartum. They may just think, well, this is what being a new mom is like, or they
right.
don't recognize that there's an issue. So, you know, the big difference is to look at, you know, after that 2 week period and any time in the first year, if you're just not able to function as you would like, and again, whether that's anger, whether that's serious changes in your sleeping habits, your eating habits, a withdrawal from things that you used to enjoy, you just don't feel connected to people and or potentially the baby. Many of the moms know, they just don't know, if that makes any sense. I mean, they know there's something
they
wrong.
They can't put the finger on it, but it
yeah.
doesn't feel right.
And oftentimes they just blame themselves. I just must
right.
be the worst mother. I never should have had a baby. So it's not that they, you know, feel something is wrong. They just think they aren't doing enough, you know.
Right, right.
I'm just defective. I'm not exercising enough. I'm not eating the right foods. I'm not a good enough person, you know, whatever their belief is. But, of course, that's all wrong. It really is an illness, and moms haven't done anything to cause it, and they're not defective in any way.
Mm-hmm.
They're not less than.
I think that you brought up a great point, which is, and this was something I didn't understand, these things may not kick in the first, like I had this misunderstanding that postpartum depression, if you didn't get it in the first 4 weeks, then you're good.
No, I know.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people think that. And the problem is that physicians actually, you know, continue that myth, sadly.
Right.
There are a lot of, and I know this is so hard for people to believe, but there are many obstetricians, many pediatricians, many other physicians who have no idea that it can extend any time throughout the first year.
Right.
It doesn't mean that most people aren't either diagnosed or at least recognized. But, like, the majority of women sort of recognize it 3 to 4 months in that range.
Mm-hmm.
Or the symptoms arise, but they don't recognize it, but it's there. But that doesn't mean that if someone comes to a doctor's office at 8 months postpartum and says, you know what, I am miserable, there is something wrong, this is not working, everything is a disaster, that she doesn't have PPD. And unfortunately, women have been turned away from doctor's offices and told, no, you can't have that, which is just absolutely, in no uncertain terms, incorrect.
Right. Well, I think that lays down the importance of not just relying on your doctor, but actually going
yes.
and trying to, like, go to your website, postpartumprogress.com, and
mm-hmm.
educate yourself on what's really going on. And not just,
right.
and if you don't feel that way, if you feel like something's wrong and your doctor keeps saying no, well, then you need to find a second opinion mm-hmm. to kind of, okay, let's just keep searching. Let's just keep moving. Let's keep moving and trying to find an answer to something that changing.
Right. You know, I mean, I think it's kind of, I always give people, you know, these two messages. The first is, you're not a physician, right? So don't do
right.
things like decide, no, I don't need this treatment, or
right.
I'm going
right.
to, you know, like, let's say you're taking medication and then you're like, I feel good today, I'm going to quit. Bad
right.
idea, right?
Yeah,
so on the
right.
one hand, it's really important to know that you need professional help. for this. But on the other hand, if you feel like you're not being heard, if you feel like you're being dismissed, there are so many other people out there who do want to help you, and all you have to do is reach out to places like postpartumprogress.com mm-hmm. and women who've been there who, you know, there are many women who probably live in your neighborhood or your at least your city or your state who know the really good therapists and doctors out there who can help. So, you know, rely on the moms who've been through this because we're so willing and happy to share information.
Yeah. You shared a little bit in your post about your struggle with postpartum OCD.
Mm-hmm.
Can you
yep.
share a little bit about that particular anxiety disorder and how you mm-hmm. Were able to overcome that?
Well, as it turns out, which I did not ever know or recognize, I've always had anxiety. I just didn't know it. I just thought this was my life.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I've always been a fairly anxious person.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but, you know, I never recognized that. I just was like, well, this is who I am and this is how I am. It's not, you know, there's nothing wrong. And then what happened is after the birth of my first child, I had, it all sort of flared up massively into this horrible illness, postpartum OCD. And I was just freaked out all the time. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I thought my son would never love me. I was convinced I was the worst mom ever, that I couldn't do anything right. I started having intrusive thoughts at probably about, I'm going to say 7 weeks, somewhere between like 7 and 9 weeks postpartum, where I had thoughts like, what if I drowned him in the bathtub when I was bathing him, which freaked me out so much that then I refused to bathe him because I was like, oh, my God, I'm a monster. You know, like I could obviously do something horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And the interesting thing actually about intrusive thoughts and postpartum OCD is those moms are actually very safe.
Mm-hmm.
But we feel the opposite about ourselves. We're convinced that we're monsters and that we could do terrible
right.
things. But the truth is those thoughts are a reflection of our anxieties.
Right.
And most of the moms who have them actually do everything they possibly can to protect their children. So,
right.
you know, they'll avoid being with them alone. They will, you know, do things like have knives taken out of the kitchen or like I did,
yeah.
I wouldn't bathe them or they won't carry their babies down the stairs. Or, I mean, it, you know, there's so many frightening thoughts that come to their heads that they know, you know, they didn't purposefully generate those thoughts, and there they are. And it is one of the scariest things that can happen to you, I swear.
Yeah,
it is
imagine.
Horrifying.
Mm-hmm. How did you find relief from that?
Well, you know, it just got worse and worse and worse, and in a pretty short order. So, I got bad really quick. And so one day I just was like, you know what, well, it's over. Like, my life is over. I'm never going to get better. There's just no point in all of this, so I'm going to call and ask for some help. And I was convinced that once I did, someone would call the police. You know, that if I said, I've had thoughts of, you know, drowning my baby in the bathtub, that would be it. They were just going to come and, you know, take me away, and that would be that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was almost like I was looking for relief, and I didn't
right.
even care where the relief came from,
right.
if it meant me being locked away or somebody giving me, you know, medication. Like, I didn't even care. Like, that's how sick I was. It was like, do with me what you will. And and I went and saw a therapist for the first time, and she said, oh, you have postpartum OCD. I was like, what? What are you talking about? I've never heard of this. She's like, you have intrusive thoughts. I was like, what? What is that? Like, I was, you know, 32 years old, very successful young woman. You know, I like to think of myself as pretty smart.
Mm-hmm.
How is it possible that I could have never heard of any of these things ever?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, she saved me at that moment because she was so understanding and knowledgeable.
Mm-hmm.
And I just felt this sense that she was telling me the truth, you know, that this was not me. This was a thing, a real thing that I had that somebody somewhere could fix.
Right.
But at the same time, I was so furious that I didn't know about it.
Yeah.
And so I ended up, you know, doing therapy and taking medication, and eventually over time I got better.
Right. Well, you had to take that first step, though, and that's the part that sometimes can be the hardest, is just to say, wave the white flag of, I can't do this.
Right, and I think part of that is because we just believe that we should be able to. Like,
yeah,
so obviously,
yeah.
you know, if you have to reach out and ask somebody for help, then that's somehow a sign that you couldn't do it, that you weren't you're not a good enough mom, and that's so not true. You know, reaching out for help takes a lot of courage, and essentially, you know, in my opinion, it's a gift to both you and your child because you're helping your family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
absolutely.
So to me, it's like the ultimate example of great motherhood, in my opinion. And I think the other thing that people fear, if not the judgment, is that, you know, someone will take their baby away.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
something really bad will happen. And that,
yeah.
you know, very, very, very rarely happens. Very rare. Right. I mean, I don't want to say it never happens, but it's
right.
so completely uncommon. And if it does happen, there are often people in the perinatal mood and anxiety disorder community who will reach out and help that get reversed.
Mm-hmm.
So.
What would you, are there any ways, okay, let's assume that there's some pregnant moms listening to us.
Sure.
What are some ways that they can, or is it even possible for them to kind of prepare for themselves for this possibility of having some of these mood or anxiety disorders after birth? Do they just have to kind of cross their fingers and just hope for the best, or can they educate themselves? What would you recommend for them?
That's a great question, and actually we have a post about that on the blog this week about,
awesome.
You know, can you prevent postpartum depression? And the thing is, you can't prevent it 100%.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of things that you can do to prepare yourself and to, if you are to get it, lessen its severity. So a lot of that has to do with things like making sure you're getting the right nutrition, making sure you're getting as much sleep as possible and quality sleep at that. Making sure that you're getting help and having some time for yourself. So, you know, being a new mother does not mean you have to be a martyr and show everyone that you have completely dedicated your entire life and every second of it to your baby.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
There's nothing Absolutely. Wrong as a new mom with handing the baby off to someone else that you trust and taking a nap, reading a book, going to a movie, going out with friends. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think all of us believe that somehow, you know, there's someone waiting in the shadows, like watching what we're doing.
Right.
And that if we, if God forbid, we decided, hey, you know what, I'm going out as a brand new mom.
Yeah.
Within reason, of course, like not every night, but, you know, that somehow, you know, that's just a sign that we're terrible. No, not at all. You have got to take care of yourself. You're still a person.
Absolutely. My husband and I have a 2-week rule, which is on the 2-week birthday, we go on a date with no children.
Oh, good. That's great.
Yeah, and we've done that with all of our births, all of our babies, and it really is such a sweet. You think it's a small it seems like a small thing in some regards, but in other regards, we just needed, you know, some time to talk. And, you know, it's hard to talk when you feel like you're tired all the time or you're distracted, and just to kind of have that time away. And it's good for me also to not be anxious. Say, okay, I'm just going to leave her for a couple hours with a responsible babysitter, and we'll call, and I'm just going to have a nice dinner with my husband, and we're going to focus on each other,
right.
and then we'll come back.
I think that's a fabulous tradition.
So, yeah.
Fabulous. And, you know,
it's serving us well.
Exactly. You can't forget that you are still a human being. And I think
sometimes
we do forget, and your life becomes sort of consumed by this, you know, being a parent. And, and not that, you know, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong, of course, with being consumed with a baby. I mean, it's a wonderful thing.
Right.
It's just that
it's
can do it to your own detriment. And not realize that you're kind of, assisting yourself going down the tubes if you don't take care of yourself. So those are the things that, you know, the experts suggest. And then, absolutely educate yourself. A lot of OBs and others really believe that you shouldn't talk to pregnant mothers about postpartum depression because they can't handle it, because they'll freak out.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that
seems
attitude.
That's very unhelpful.
It's so unhelpful. And the fact of the matter is, you know what? Give us a little bit more credit.
Yeah.
You know, women can handle it. We should know about our bodies in every way. And that means our brains as well as every other part of our bodies. We should know what to expect. We should know what can happen. We should know what we can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, the fact of the matter is, if this does happen, you know, it sucks. There's no way around that. It really does. It sucks, but it's temporary. And there's tons of people who get it, and they're going to help you get through it, and it won't last you know, forever, and you're going to get right back to being an awesome mom. I mean,
right, right.
That's the way it is, and that's the way you have to look at it. It's not forever.
Right, exactly. This isn't the new you. This is the season.
No, exactly. And you can't, you know, it's so much better than ignoring it or pushing it away and not getting help. And I can tell you, you know, I've spoken with so many women who did that, who've done that, who said, no, you know what, I just decided I should exercise more, or I didn't want to ask for help because I was afraid, or I didn't want people to know. I mean, so many women that I've spoken to who've all said after the fact, I hate that I did that. Like, I wish I had asked for help sooner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to a person.
Yeah.
They're all like, you know, do not do what I did. Don't do it, because there's just no point, and you don't deserve to have to live that way.
I'm going to shift a little bit from the clinical and talk about the emotional. I mean, we as women, and we've been talking kind of about this, about our tendency to carry feelings of inadequacy and shame, like as like a second blanket, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have a personal blog entitled Becoming Fierce and Powerful, and I just love that title. What instigated that, this new blog?
Well, you know, I sort of wanted a place where I could write a little bit more about myself and my work. You know, Postpartum Progress is not for me. It's for mothers. So, you know, I don't write about a lot of personal stuff there or myself, unless it's obviously related to maternal mental health, because it's not the place for it. You know, this is to help other people. So I kind of wanted a place that every now and then when I really felt strongly about, you know, writing about something related to my life, because I thought maybe it would, you know, help a friend or something, but not be related to postpartum depression, that I needed a place to do that. So, and the name came because, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, on Twitter when people talk about their one word, like, what is the one word that describes you? And that was a big deal a couple of years ago. I remember kind of everybody talking about it on Twitter, and I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't know what my word is. I have no idea. So I just asked my followers.
Mine would be like a paragraph. I'm too verbose for just one word.
Yeah, I didn't know. I had no clue, literally. And so I just asked my followers on Twitter, and the word fierce just came up over and over and over and over again, which I was, you know, that's a nice word. I was obviously really grateful. I was like, hey, thanks, you know. But it was like it just kept coming up, and it kept coming up. And then I ended up, I don't know if you know of More Magazine,
mm-hmm.
but More Magazine has something called the Fierce List that they do every year. And one year I ended up on their Fierce List of the 100 most fierce women in the world, which was lovely. And so, it was nice. And so this word just kind of kept coming up. And so I thought, you know, that's my word. Oh, that'll be my word. And plus, it's really important for I think I'm a good example of the fact that you don't have to be fearless to be fierce.
Yes, I love that about your blog, actually, Catherine.
Thank
that was
you.
One of the things that I really appreciate about your post, is it's not just I am fierce, but it's I'm choosing to be fierce. And
I'm like one of the most fearful people you're going to meet.
Right, and I think that's why it's so encouraging, because it's not saying, in a way, this is what I am, but this is how I'm choosing to become this. And that's what's encouraging, because I think that's a word that is. I think it's a quality that we, especially as moms, want to embody for our children to be, and for our families, becoming fierce, like pushing myself to do things that maybe are hard for me to do.
Yeah, you know, it's not only that, but that you don't have to be like all, you know, Wonder Woman while you're doing it.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
There's just so much out there, so many messages, one after another, after another, after another about, you know, step out there and kick some ass. Sorry, I hope I'm allowed to swear on this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, like, you know, like you have to be, I don't know, like all macho and fearless, and you just know where you're going and you're marching toward it and nothing frightens you or makes you shrink back. And like, I don't get that.
Life is not that way normally.
No.
At least in my life.
Well, it probably is for some people. I mean, I do think there are people who really are fearless, who just march in and take over, and you know, that's kind of their, that's their, that works for them, and that's great. Fine, you know, go for it.
Yeah.
I think so many people look at that and go, well, I'm not that, so obviously I can't accomplish things, or I don't feel that way, so obviously I must not be able to make change.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I feel very strongly about making sure people know that is not true.
Mm-hmm.
It's not true. You can be like, I mean, you have no idea how many times I'm in my office in my house just like crying my eyes out because I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, you know? I mean, you have no idea. Like, I am like a roller coaster of emotions on a daily basis. And so if I can, you know, accomplish some cool stuff and be as completely messed up as I am, then so can other people. And so I just thought Fierce and Powerful would be a place where I could, you know, talk about all the times that I'm, you know, screw up, and all the times that I'm sobbing in my office, and all the times that I question myself and have crises of confidence, and that maybe that would show someone else that, no, you're good. You don't have to have all the qualifications and be the exact right perfect person with the exact right temperament to, you know, conquer whatever it is that you want to conquer. And that might be big change or small change or just change in your own personal life. I'm like, I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, you know, you can do it, and you can like be a sobbing mess while you do it, and that's just fine.
That's okay. I have one last question for you. You shared on Babbel.com that you don't really like babies. And I have to say, I was really thrilled to read that, because here is a scandalous secret. The woman with the IncredibleInfant.com website, which is me, right? I'm not really a natural baby person either. Like, they're super cute, but they're an insane amount of work, and they can't talk. They can only cry, which, let's face it, is a big downer, right?
Yeah.
So babyhood is, and that's probably why I like writing about this subject, is because I really do feel for me that was the hardest part so far. I mean, granted, my oldest is 9, so what do I have to complain about? But it was the hardest labor of love for me that I've had so far. And so I just loved that you said that, because it's really not PC to be a mom and share that your baby stage was not your favorite stage. But I think it is another one of those common things that nobody really talks about, because to say, you know what, I'm not really a huge fan of the baby stage, you can easily be judged as, quote, not a good mom.
Oh, and so, I was.
so I just wanted to know, okay, as a mom who has gotten through the baby kid stage and you're loving the school age stage of your children, what would you say to the mom who feels like she's not a baby person but is sitting right there with a newborn anyway?
It's okay. I mean, you know, I know it's not cool to say it, but I really think there's nothing wrong with not loving it. It doesn't mean you're not loving your baby. I mean, there's a very big difference.
Yeah,
for me, the feeling is I cannot talk to this person. This person cannot tell me what they want. I cannot fix the problems. You know, it's just, I think for me, it's a communication issue. I feel completely incapable with babies. Like, I suck at babies. Like, I don't, I just suck at it. Like, I feel like, God, I can't, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. It's terrible. And then, you know, they hit, you know, 4, 5, and 6, and I'm like, I'm the queen of motherhood. I am so good at this, you know?
So yes, I know what you mean, yeah.
And I'm sure there are people who think babies are the best thing on the planet. They love their babies, everyone else's babies. They would have babies surrounding them at every turn, and they may hate, you know what, or, you know, hate's probably too strong a word, but, you know, dislike other parts of being a mom. And, you know, there's some people who, I also hate crafts, FYI. I don't do crafts.
Yeah, I don't either. I'm not a craft mom either.
No, but I do other things I think are pretty awesome. So let's all just embrace what we, you know, really
like,
are great
at. I like the idea of a baby. Like, they're really cute, they're tiny, and I love holding other people's babies. But then when I remember just how much, like, that you are giving of yourself all the time. Like, it is such hard work. Then I start thinking, because every now and then my husband and I go back and forth, do we have another baby? And then there's sometimes that I'm like, oh, I love babies. Babies are great. I want more.
Oh,
it
is hard.
Right. And then he likes, okay, you want more? Okay, let's go back and remember.
Right, yeah,
what
I know.
What it means to actually have to carry with you 15 million things when you go anywhere and all, you know, all that stuff. So
I know. I always say, if somebody could, like, hand me my progeny at, like, the age of 4, like yeah. already potty trained and all that stuff. Like I'm in.
Yes,
I'll have 100.
So
like
true.
I'm good.
That's so funny.
But you know, it's we just need to all be honest with each other because I hate all the all the feeling that's going around that you know everybody is better at this than me and everybody does more than me and
that's so
no
true.
They don't.
Yeah, that's so true. Oh, Catherine, it's been so fun to sit and just chat a little bit about these kind of serious issues that are often not talked about. So thank you so much for letting me interview you.
Well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yes, it's been way fun. Friends, if some of these things that Catherine and I have been talking about have kind of hit home and you're starting to wonder if you or maybe someone you love is struggling with a postpartum mental illness, please, please, please talk to your doctor. Go to Catherine's website, which is www.postpartumprogress.com. So I'm spelling it just in case, postpartumprogress.com. I hope you wrote that down. And I'll link it on my site so you can get
or
it.
Or you can
too.
Email me at postpartumprogress@gmail.com. We do answer emails. We're happy to do it.
Excellent. Yes. Do that. Get your support. Do something. It is literally a lifesaver. Book it, share it, and we can support one another during these difficult year or so after childbirth. I would also encourage you to pop over to Catherine's blog, which is www.fierceandpowerful.com. Her posts, Catherine, I'm serious, your posts are always inspiring and encouraging, and I want to stand up and say, yay, me too.
Oh, thanks.
So you have a real natural way of both hugging and bolstering us up to, like, go and rock the world, you know. So I just want to say thank you for writing. Obviously, you spend a lot of time on your posts, and it's worth every second. So
thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. So do stop over there to get your encouragements because they really are worth it. And as always, if you ever have questions and comments, I hang out over at incredibleinfant.com, so you can stop by and toss me a few hellos, or you can email me at heather@incredibleinfant.com. So blessings on your day, friends. Until later. We'll talk later.